I would like for us to sing a chorus from a hymn, 333, in the hymn book, 333. I'm not sure if we're all familiar with this, but I do believe we're all familiar with the tune. Maybe it's easier if we sing verse 1 and the chorus. Verse 1 and the chorus. Chorus, of course, comes from 2 Timothy 1, the verse that we read. I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed, and I know that He is able to guard my deposit until that day. Amen. Okay, you all can go now. Continuing our fellowship from this morning on rekindling, I would like to read a few paragraphs from this publication entitled The Spirit with Our Spirit by our dear brother Lee. It's on fanning into flame. And I'm reading from chapter 8. And the outline here is to fan our spirit. I'm not reading from the beginning, second paragraph. We have to know the background of 2 Timothy to appreciate Paul's word here. Paul wrote this book during a difficult time for his spiritual son Timothy. Paul was in prison in Rome Furthermore, all those in Asia had forsaken Paul's ministry. The churches in Asia were the main churches raised up through Paul's ministry, but they forsook him. Timothy was there among them. If you were Timothy, how would you face the situation? People could have said to Timothy, why are you still following Paul? All the saints in Asia have forsaken him. Also, if God were really with him, he would rescue him from prison in Rome. No doubt Timothy was discouraged. Otherwise, Paul would not have said, for which cause I remind you. Timothy was discouraged, had to be reminded. Paul knew Timothy was down, and he sympathized with him. He reminded Timothy that there was still a small fire within him, which he needed to fan into flame. At times, you may suffer to such an extent that you may begin to doubt God and doubt your salvation. Have you never gotten to that point? But regardless of how much you doubt, one thing is within you which you cannot deny: your spirit. You are not like a beast. You have a spirit. And this spirit is a trouble to Satan. Regardless of how much work Satan has done and is still doing, there is one thing that he cannot touch: our spirit. Amen. We need to fan our spirit into flame. The spiritual gift is in our spirit. There is fire in our regenerated spirit, which is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Actually, we may say that our spirit is the fire. If you want to fan your spirit into flame, you need to open up your mouth, open up your heart, and open up your spirit. You need to open up these three layers of your being. You have to use your mouth to say, "Oh Lord Jesus."
Amen.
Let's do that.
Oh,
oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know, it's not all the time that you're in a place where you can shout, "Oh Lord Jesus." Take advantage while you're here.
Amen.
But then you have to go deeper by using your mouth with your heart. You know, have you never done that? Called with only your mouth but no heart? I mean, because, you know, in the meetings, just like what I did, we've been doing this since I was in high school. Let's call on the Lord. And it's usually, what, how many times?
Three.
Three times. Universal. That's universal. Everywhere, every continent, three times. And we, "Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh," and we call, but it's from here. It's not here yet. Come on, you never did that? At least as a kid? Anyway, it's not just the kids. I think we're like, "Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, look, shepherd's here. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh." Don't do that with your heart. Then you need to go even deeper by using your mouth with your heart and with your spirit to say, "Oh, Lord Jesus." Let's do that. Let's do that. This is to open up your spirit from deep within. Then the fire burns.
Amen.
If you are down, you should call, "Oh Lord Jesus," again and again from deep within with the exercise of your spirit. Then you will be up. According to the divine revelation, God does not give us a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power. This means that your spirit is connected to your will, which is powerful. So whenever you exercise your spirit, you have to realize that your will is involved. Our spirit is surrounded not only by the powerful will, but also by the loving emotion and by the sober mind. This means that your mind should not be cloudy or foggy, but very clear, very sober. These three helpers are surrounding our spirit, not to depress us. That's the spirit power, right? Spirit of love, sober-mindedness. Not to depress us, but rather to uplift us and help us up. I'll skip down here. To say that we have the capital means that we have the capacity We can do things because we have the capacity of power. We should not say that we do not love people because we have the capacity of love. We should not say that we are in darkness because we have the capacity of sober-mindedness with a clear sky. We should declare, my sky is not cloudy. My sky is clear.
Amen.
Because this is our capacity. Quite often we are cheated and deceived by the enemy. We should say, we say that we are weak and cloudy, but when we say we are weak, we are weak.
Yeah.
When we say we're cloudy, we're cloudy. On the other hand, when we say we're strong, we are strong.
Amen.
And when we say we are clear, we are clear.
Amen.
Last part. You should claim and declare, I am strong.
Amen.
I am loving.
Amen.
I am clear.
Amen.
We declared that this morning. You are blessed if you say this. This is the way to exercise your spirit. This is the way to fan into flame. But this is the main part I wanted to read here. Whenever there's the fanning, there's always a battle with Satan. While the fanning of fire is going on, the fire department is fighting to quench the fire. The satanic fire department. This is an illustration of Satan trying to quench the fire being fanned within us. Today, there are many things that are like cold water trying to quench our inner flame. Isn't this true? Sometimes a phone call comes with bad news. This was when? This was 93. Now a text comes. Now an email comes. Now a DM comes. Bad news. Or something. Too easy. Just at that time to distract. Just at that time to quench. We need to be on guard. Then someone comes to you with more bad news. Things happen in our environment which can quench us. At that time we have to fight. We have to declare the facts. We have to fan our spirit into flame. Then we will be the highest persons, the super persons. Amen. I skipped a lot. You can go to this. The Spirit with our spirit to get more ministry. We come to the second section. Reset. Reset. I don't know if you have any idea what this means by just reading this word here. The verses are, the main verses are Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 12, 12 and 13. Let's read those together. This word reset is really based on this translation, set straight. Set straight. And this word, it's one word, but it's two words in English, but in Greek it's one word, okay? And I want to give you this Greek word here also, because I think it's very, very meaningful. This word is, you're going to recognize something here. It's two words. An, which is again. So that's the re part. Re, right? And then ortho. You know ortho. Orthopedics. Orthopedics.
Yeah.
It deals with the bones and the muscles. Yeah. But in this context, it's talking about the bones. So this is not a reset like on a machine, on a computer. Oh, let's push the button and let's reset. This is that the bone is out of joint. Reset. Now the Recovery Version, the brothers chose these words set straight. And so it does need to be set in a straight way, aligned or adjusted. So you could translate this as readjusted, be readjusted. And one of the brothers, who's a medical professional, we were talking a little bit about this, and he said, if the bone is not set straight, then of course it will, it won't, there's a word for it. Anyway, fuse together, straight. It needs to be straight. Actually, this word ortho, comes from another root, which means to rise. To go up. So actually, it does mean straight again, but it means straight up. Straight up. And the definition of this word, you could also say set upright, straight, set straight again, or just restore. In different settings. Actually, in the scripture, it does talk about it. One place it does say restore. Actually, in Acts, restore. It's this word. The time of restoration is the time of setting straight. Everything will be straight up. Today it's chaos, and more chaos is coming. But in the next age. Why? Because according to Ephesians, everything will be headed up in Christ. Amen. So everything will be upright. Upright. Okay. So here, what was Paul saying to the saints? You know, mostly here, even the whole book of Hebrews, is, and you know, we have almost all the verses here from Hebrews 12. The Hebrew believers were in a situation of suffering. They were suffering. They were in between God's new economy and God's old economy. But they suffered a lot of persecution for this. A lot of persecution. This was not a peaceful background. It was, some were kind of a teeter-tottering this way. They were this way. And Paul was telling them, you need to be set straight because you risk being fully out of joint. Wow. Be careful. Because here it says, make straight paths for your feet that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather may be healed. And this phrase, out of joint, is also very interesting. This word means to turn aside. Turn aside. I think in at least two places in the New Testament, it talks about this person turned aside. That means they went their own way outside of God's economy. But interesting. This word, which is out of joint, that phrase out of joint, is also a two-part Greek word. Something like this. I'm not going to write it. Ektropo, which is out, and tropo. You know what that means? Track, which means off track. Off track. But it's more specific than that. It's talking about off the track of an orbit. You know, orbit. Orbit. You know this verse in James that the Father of lights, there's no shadow cast by turning. That word turning is this word, tropo. So the point is this. Be careful. You need a reset. If you're not careful, you will go off orbit. And you just consider in our church life. Forget these last 2 years. I mean, even before that. Before that. I grew up with a group of young people who, it was hot for a period of time. It was hot. We were loving the Lord together. And many reasons, many factors. This one just slowed down. And there are many factors. Surely not fault. The enemy had ground, and we've learned lessons. But the enemy came in here, there, and it saddens me. I would venture to say, probably you know some that you also were going on with that went off track. Eventually, it just into their own orbit. But these last 2 years, I just wonder. I just wonder. Have the events of these 2 years caused your hands to hang down? You know, here it says, set straight the hands that hang down. That you know, hang down. You know, when you're discouraged, usually you slouch. And your hands hang down. People don't get discouraged talking this way. They hang down. So, many factors. And Paul was releasing this word to strengthen the saints to straighten up. Straighten up. You know, at the end of the verses, we have Luke 13. Do you see that? I don't know how it falls on your
second page.
Are they all on your second page? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know, you remember this story? And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And she was bent double and could not stand erect at all. She was bent double. She was not just bent, she was bent again. She had an infirmity. Bent double. Which means what? When you open your eyes, what do you see? Well, actually, if you're bent double, yourself. If you look up, you see the ground.
Yeah.
Do you get me? Bent double. Imagine that your whole vision is filled with yourself and the world. That's an infirmity. And I'm afraid that at different times in our life, Christian life, and particularly in these couple of years, many saints at least had some experience of being restricted to self and the world. And at least number of saints, they're not a big number, but there are a number of saints that I come in contact with that too caught up with the world situation. Too caught up with. Too preoccupied. And on a spectrum of things, you wouldn't believe. I don't want to get it, I don't even mention. But from one end to the other, they're just so, when you touch them, this is what comes out. It's a bondage. It's a bondage. So, my heart is that they would experience what the next two verses. Jesus, seeing her, called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are released Amen. From your infirmity."
Amen.
And he laid his hands on her, and instantly she was made erect and began to glorify God. You know that phrase, made erect, is exactly this phrase, this word, anaortho. She was like this, and she was made erect. So now she could look up, see the heavens.
Amen.
We thought that we would call you all together so that you all could look up.
Amen.
We weren't sure. What are you all looking at? Because the world is just occupying and intense. Just intense. And now with our devices, let the whole world comes to you right there. And then just everything, the news, not just social media. I mean, that's one thing. And how active you may be there. But just the news these days is so intense. And it's almost all discouraging. And this could occupy us. And we don't realize, but we're just... Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Mm-hmm. But next time I see you, you're... Amen, brother. And eventually we're walking around. So be careful. That's all we're saying. Be careful. Be on guard. Be on guard. And it's just so interesting to me that these verses, which I don't know about you, but I don't remember myself giving any ministry on these verses before. And I don't know how much I've heard except for the life study. You know, I was in this life study as a teenager when Brother Lee shared on this. But I don't, you know, what verses do we hear about? The next verses, which is 1 and 2. Do you see that? On our list here, it's Hebrews. These two verses we hear a lot. "Therefore, let us also, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, put away every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race which is set before us, looking away unto Jesus,
Amen.
The author and perfecter of our faith." And saints, that's what we want. That's what we want. But if you notice, I asked the brothers not to put these two verses first. You know, it's out of order. This is intentional. Because I'm afraid if we put them in the order, then you miss the point. Now, this is the goal. This is what we want. We want everyone to be free to run the race. To be free of encumbrances. But if someone comes to the conference or comes to the meeting like this, and you tell them, "Run the race, brother!" And he'll say, "Amen!" But you can't. We need something first. We need a reset. We need the Lord to set us straight so that we can run the race and look away. When you're like this, you look away, you still see yourself. But some other verses that we hardly spend time on are following. Verses 5 and 6, 11, 15, 16. Let's read 5 and 6 together, please.
"And you have completely forgotten the exhortation which arises with you as your son. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when reproved by it.
Maybe 11 also. Yeah.
Not
There is a key point here, saints, on the matter of discipline. Discipline. On one hand, these dear saints were suffering. They were suffering persecution from men this way. Probably they were also suffering the persecution from Satan through that persecution. But the Lord said, actually, I'm using this to discipline you. Now, when things don't go our way in our living, at any stage of life, it's very easy. It's kind of a default to be mad at God, to blame the Lord. You didn't answer my prayer. Actually, he did answer your prayer. He said, no. That's an answer. You know, every parent knows. Every parent, you have to say no a lot. Why? Because you love them. You can't give them everything they want. They don't know what's good for them. And because you love them, you have to apportion things. Our Father is the wisest Father. Imagine if he gave us everything we ever prayed for. Think about it. Actually, there's a story I love. This one about the 10 Samaritan lepers. You know that story? It's in Luke 17. Luke 17.
Ten lepers.
The 10 lepers. And one of them. And the ten lepers. And the one that comes back was a foreigner. Was a Samaritan. And you know, they at a distance. At a distance, they see, and they do what they're, you know, at a distance, you're supposed to say, unclean, unclean, you know, social distancing, right? No, I mean, that's social distancing, that's proper. And so to warn people, I'm contagious, I'm unclean, unclean. But they saw Jesus and they prayed. They prayed to him. And he said, go show yourselves to the priest. So they went on the way. Can you imagine the joy in those people, those 10 guys? Like they're walking. Wait, is the priest going to heal us? They didn't know. They said, just go. He didn't heal them. And then he just said, go. So they got healed by obedience. So they're going. And then, whoa. Look at your face. He said, I can't. I said, what? No, look, and you're clean, you're whole. And then, and can you imagine that scene? Don't you think one of them, what about me? And they're all, how happy would they be? And then the one comes back to Jesus. Thank you. What does he say? Were there not 10? Where are the other 9? Were there not 10? Now, did the Lord answer all of their prayers?
Yeah.
All 10, right?
Yeah.
How many ended up with their prayer answered? How many ended up closer to the Lord? Only one. The 9 got their prayers answered. But the answered prayer took them further away from God. So, I remember I was reading. I said, oh, Lord. I said, Lord, I understand now. And so, I'm going to tell you, in a moment of soberness, I said to the Lord, Lord, don't answer all my prayers. Because sometimes I pray stupid prayers. I pray things I don't know what I'm praying. They may be filled with self. So Lord, you discern. Answer according to your best evaluation for my growth, transformation, and maturity.
Amen.
I'm still going to ask, though. I'm still going to ask. But trust you. Sometimes the Lord allows things in our lives, situations that do not seem to be, and sometimes he uses them for discipline. What is discipline? It's training, not punishment. By default, we also go to that word, punishment. Lord's punishing me. What did I do? What did I do? You didn't do anything. Maybe the thing you didn't do was grow. And so that's how I'm helping you. And so it says here, it yields, no discipline is, 11, no discipline at the present time seems to be a matter of joy but of grief. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been exercised by it. So saints, we need to exercise our spirit and even fan into flame in the discipline. Then we get something positive. Fifteen and 16. Let's read these two verses.
Looking here for him, lest anyone fall away from the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up trouble you, and the bitterness may be defiled. Lest there be any forming character of the great person of Esau, who for one meal gave up his own birthright.
I have a very strong burden, lots of feeling over these two verses. Saints, please notice that these two verses, this is 15 and 16. So this is after this verse about being set straight and going off track and out of orbit. So Paul encourages, set straight everything. That what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather may be healed. And then he mentions these two verses. Because if you're hanging down, too discouraged, if you're not exercised, there's the possibility always of these two things set it coming. A root of bitterness. Bitterness over something. Because things don't go our way. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall away from the ground. Lest any bitterness springing up trouble you. And through this many be defiled. Always be careful. Always be careful of having a root of bitterness in our hearts. This can happen in your family life and in your church life. It can happen. It can happen between family members. It can happen with the saints in the church. It can happen with the elders of the church. It can happen with the saints in your group meeting. That a little bitterness, because things don't go your way, something happens, and because we weren't exercised by it, possible the enemy took advantage and a little seed of thought. Oh, the brothers don't like me. Why are they against me? He doesn't like me. This leading one. He doesn't like me. Just that thought. Oh, be careful. Be careful. Don't let this take root. It's a thought. It's just a thought. It's just a thought. But if we're fanned into flame, we can swat that fly away. And in 16 says, lest any fornicator or profane person. Why did Paul put these things here, back to back? Following the verse about get set straight, don't be out of joint, don't get off track. Why did Paul list these things here? Because it's possible, if we're not exercised, if we're not hot for the Lord, not burning, it's possible. Actually, many things are possible. Many things are possible. And none of us should think, oh, I'm immune, I'm stronger than that. Things can come in. I remember when Brother Lee gave the message on this, running the race in the Hebrews Life Study, he talked about this. Run in the center lane. Run fast. Because if you slow down, it's too easy to take an exit off the highway. Any exit is, you know, it's just too easy. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful. We need a strong reset. We need a strong reset. And then these verses here from 22, I think we won't take the time to read all of these, but verse 22 is very interesting. But you have come forward to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Saints, you know you're in New Jerusalem right now.
Amen.
I used to think when I was a kid in the denomination, oh, we'd sing about sweet by and by, and you know, heaven, and I'm gonna walk on the golden street. These songs about the golden street. And okay, then I came into church life, we're talking about New Jerusalem, but I don't know, maybe I got influenced by those thoughts. It's you know, because at the end of the Bible, we're not there yet. Actually, this, what does it say? You have come. Isn't that what that says? Doesn't this say you came to New Jerusalem?
Yes.
Heavenly Jerusalem?
Amen.
Amen or amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It, this says, and to many things, and to many things. But I want to highlight in verse 24, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, which speaks something better than that of Abel. The blood of sprinkling. What does this mean? What is this phrase in the Bible? The blood of sprinkling. This is very particular. You know, the sacrifices are offered in God's house, in, let's say, the tabernacle, with the three parts. There's the Holy of Holies, the innermost. There's the holy place, right, connected to that. That's actually often called God's house, just those two. And then there's the outer court. And the outer court has the altar for offering and the laver. So the sacrifices are offered in the outer court. But once a year, the priest will bring the blood into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the propitiation cover. And there it says, on the propitiation cover, that's where the Lord says, there I will meet with you and speak with you. What gets you there? The blood of sprinkling. You can't go in there without blood. So when it talks about sprinkling the blood, that's what it's implying. That means in the Holy of Holies. If you have come to the blood of sprinkling, that means you have come to the Holy of Holies. Which today is connected to our spirit, right? Saints, we have the blood of sprinkling. You have come to sprinkling. So you know what that does? It allows you to forget the things behind and look away to Jesus.
Amen.
And have a real reset. Have a real reset. Verse 28. Let's read 28 and 9 together.
Therefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace through which we may serve God without losing faith and vanity and fear. For our God is also a consuming fire.
Wherefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace. Receiving an unshakable kingdom. Does anybody have the recovery version with the notes? Do you have that with the notes? Does anyone have a non-electronic version of the recovery version with the notes? If you could find this, yeah. Thank you. Wow. How come only the sisters do that? Amen. Amen. I just want to show you Hebrews 12. I read this note for the first time when I was 17 years old. The note to this verse. Okay. I just want to impress you. If you haven't seen this before, the verse is right there. See that? The verse is right there. And this is the note to that verse. Over there. This note. On the unshakable kingdom. On the unshakable kingdom. Oh, my goodness. When we read that, I left that meeting scared. Do you see the note? Where is it? Here. Here's the verse with a little line there. And then this is the note. Yeah. This is one of the longest notes in the recovery version. It's on the kingdom. The kingdom. Oh, in those days, I was just learning this stuff. The millennial kingdom, the Lord's coming, this whole matter of reward and discipline. Oh, saints, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Blessed are you, many of you. You're in the Lord's recovery from your youth, and you know about this. Okay, the reason I want to point this out is that, dear saints, we are fast approaching the end of the age.
Yes.
We are fast approaching the end of the age. I read this note for the first time 37 years ago. At that time, I thought, oh, Lord, are you coming? Are you coming? Oh, today, everywhere you look, it just seems, every sign points to, he's coming so soon.
Yeah.
So, to be ready for this, his coming, for the unshakable kingdom, we need a reset.
Yeah.
Forget the things behind. And now run with endurance. Run with endurance. Okay, two more points then. I want to leave more time for your sharing. I don't know if the brothers want to say something more. Let's read these verses in Luke. They're not on your sheet there. Luke 21, 34, 5, and 6. Luke 21. Can we read together? Please go. Start.
All these.
But take heed. Luke 21. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Yeah, go.
But take heed to yourselves, lest perhaps your hearts be weighed down with debauchery and drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and that they come upon you suddenly as a snare. For it will come in upon all those dwelling on the face of all the earth. But be watchful at every time.
this stand before the Son of Man implies the rapture. Amen. This is Revelation 14, the first fruit. Take heed to yourselves, lest perhaps your hearts be weighed down with debauchery and drunkenness. That's terrible, right? Debauchery, drunkenness. But it's also possible among the brothers. It's still possible if your hands are hanging down and you're not careful and you give ground to the enemy. And I've seen this many times. Not just brothers, but more brothers. Debauchery and drunkenness. Brothers, be careful. Even Demas. Yes. Yeah. Even Demas, a co-worker of Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. Even Demas. He loved the present age. How can you imagine? A co-worker. Eventually, Paul only had Timothy, Mark, Luke, a few others. But no one's immune. This is my point. Okay, that's terrible. Debauchery, drunkenness. But in the same category, it puts anxieties of life. It includes anxiety about preschool. That's an anxiety of life. You know, when you're a parent, it's like, oh man, you get a whole new set of anxieties. I said, oh, we didn't, you know, oh, I want a baby. Oh, anxiety. I didn't know that with the cute little baby. Anxieties. It's like a whole set, a new set. Oh, yeah. Oh, sisters. And that day come upon you suddenly as a snare. For it will come upon all those dwelling in the face of the earth. Be watchful every time, beseeching, that you may prevail to escape. I want to close by saying a little word to our moms, to the sisters. Really to the parents, but I think it's more to the moms. Just today, even based on what I said about Timothy this morning, I had more impression even this afternoon. I told you, Timothy, whom Paul, that's all he had. Timothy, I leave you there. He's in prison. But Timothy was not produced by Paul. He was perfected by Paul. He was produced by his mother and his grandmother. And 2 Timothy 1, 2 Timothy 3. He was produced by his family. Samuel, it's the same. We just had many of us pass through this training just recently on books of Samuel. Samuel is a book that in type is the bringing in of the kingdom. But it starts with a sister who is praying. Yes, for her own need, but somehow touches a principle in the heart of God. How did that happen? How did she know? Lord, I want a child. I'm desperate for a child. But Lord, you need something. Why do we say that? Because she uses this word at the end of chapter 1 in 1 Samuel, lend, not give. She says, I have lent him to you all the days of his life. I'll lend him to you. You know, if you need a loan, that means you don't have the money, right? If you need a loan, that means you're missing something. So she said, Lord, I'll lend them to you. There was an insight in this young girl that, God, you are short of something. So, I'm paraphrasing, let's make a little deal here. You give me a child, and I will raise him to meet your need. I don't know how this young girl, I don't know how she saw that, but she did. That's the Hannah ministry. Sisters, we are now approaching the fulfillment of that, the bringing in of the kingdom. We need Samuels and Davids. We have Hannahs. We need Hannahs first. We need sisters. We need moms who are clear and consecrated, not filled with anxiety, but are putting something in their children to be ready for that. I pray the Lord, through his word, would inspire you, that there be a reset, and if not a reset because you've been on the track, then a reinforcement of this kind of consecration in your homes. And we're here to help you in any way we can. But it starts in your homes. Oh, the children. Oh, our heart so much for our children, our next generation. The age is going down. The age is going down. But the Lord, under his sovereignty, has them born now. They're in his hand. No need to be anxious. The need is to be exercised and to watch. To watch. I'll stop here. We have plenty of time for sharing. How about we do this? How about a few prayers, but maybe with just not all together, just with two or three around us. We have a little prayer. And then feel free to respond from anything of the day. Amen.
Thank you.